Lanre, it's deeply complicated, isn't it? Because reading Margot Jefferson and Wesley Morris on Michael Jackson, you know, titans of cultural criticism, even they admit to a level of denial about who he really was, perhaps because of this kind of defensive crouch of wanting to believe in black artists and wanting to protect them from the worst of how the industry treats them, you know, building them up, profiting from them, and then putting them down and spitting them out. What's your take?
I think that's true. And I think there is a protective instinct, especially from a lot of black cultural critics, to protect black artists because of the way that black people in general have been treated historically, especially in America. But I think with Michael Jackson, there's something else going on. And it's his biography, it's his story, right? So he emerges as a five-year-old who's pushed to the front of this group by his father, Joe Jackson, who's a failed musician himself from Gary, Indiana, this kind of place basically in the middle of nowhere, very industrial. And Joe Jackson's this kind of like centrifugal force in the middle of the family, which drives his children to become these child stars.
I saw the talent there, but when Michael got involved, I really saw the real talent there because he was doing things, spinning and dancing, all that stuff.
He basically wills them into the Motown office with Diana Ross. They do an audition and they're successful and their career takes off. They go into this incredible machine and off they go. You know, Michael Jackson doesn't have a childhood. We know that there's accusations of him being sexually assaulted by people within the music industry. There's a few allegations of that flying around.
And there's lots about his father beating him. I think that's going to be in the film very much so. I mean, like he, you know, there's interviews where he talks about they'd be practicing their dance steps, and if they were a step out wrong, Joe Jackson had a belt in his hand. Like that was the literal whip that he used to control his kids.
Well, yeah, he would whip them. I mean, I was reading a thing the other day, Michael Jackson saying he would like apply oil to them so that he could get more kind of purchase on this kind of like physical assault that he was putting his children through. So like that, I think that is built into the way that people think about Jackson and in some ways kind of move those kind of really dark allegations out of the way and say, well, actually there's an explanation for this. The other thing as well is he was like this kind of Peter Pan style character. So that somehow explain the fact that he wanted to hang out with children, like he hadn't had a childhood. So therefore it kind of makes sense that he wanted to hang out with these kids, even though when you think about it again, it's like, why was this full grown man in his mid-30s hanging out with, you know, 10-year-olds sleeping in the same bed as them? You know, it never smelt right. But with Jackson, because of the biography, I think a lot of people justified it in their own heads and like rationalized it and said, well, it kind of makes sense, so we'll kind of allow it. So I think there's a long history of black cultural critics defending not just Michael Jackson, but many black figures who are accused of heinous crimes. So Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, and Michael Jackson. And often the argument is rooted in this idea that, look, historically, African Americans have been treated horrendously. You've obviously got the 400 years of slavery, you've got Jim Crow, and then you've got racist practices leading up to today that continue, that we all know about. So when someone who is a huge figure within the black community is then shot at, people say, well, hang on a minute. Yeah, Michael Jackson might have done some of these things. We don't know. They're accusations, they're allegations, but we know for sure the way that black Americans have been treated by the state, let alone the music industry.
So let's rally round.
Yeah, or let's. So why do we have to attack him as well? We're not going to join in. We're not going to do that. And I think there is a weird dynamic there where African Americans are often asked to defend Michael Jackson or come out and denounce him. When the reason that Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson is because white America embraced him. Mm. The reason he sold 80 million copies of Thriller isn't because African Americans bought it. Mm. It's because white people bought it as well. And everybody was making absolutely loads of money out of him. That's the reason Michael Jackson became Michael Jackson. Mm. But when it comes to the allegations and the dark stuff, all of a sudden it's a black problem. And why aren't you coming out and decrying him?
Lanre, it's potentially going to be the biggest film of the year. It's billed to be this huge blockbuster. People are rushing to see it. Do you think it's wholesale cultural amnesia? Is it excellent PR? Or do people simply not care about allegations of paedophilia when a pop star is as big as he was?
I think there's a really important kind of timing issue at the heart of it. Michael, the biopic was supposed to come out earlier, and that has been delayed for multiple reasons. And I think the gap in time from 2019 and those allegations to now has been really useful for the Michael Jackson estate. And in that intervening period, they've made a lot of money out of multiple musicals, merchandise sales. Like, they've built up this kind of war chest. And then Michael is the kind of crown jewel in that kind of new cultural awakening around Michael Jackson. So there's been this period of time where the allegations have been made, And now what you're starting to see in a really interesting way is like people kind of saying, well, I'm skeptical about some of the allegations. I'm skeptical about some of the accusations and introducing the element of doubt. Antoine Farquhar, the director, has said that in a recent interview with The New Yorker. And he's done that on the campaign trail. He's not come out and said, I don't believe in any allegations, but he has said that people want to make money out of Michael Jackson. People do some nasty things in order to make money.
As in claiming that people would have made stuff up in order to get paid.
Yeah, not saying that directly, but kind of alluding to that and like pushing people in that direction, which I think is interesting. And I think that gap is enough for people to say, all right, well, there's a benefit of the doubt here. It's Michael Jackson. This is one of the biggest films of the year. He's this huge cultural figure. It's got all the songs in it because they work with the estate. I want to go watch this. There is clearly a market for biopics of these huge musical stars.
And sanitised ones at that. I mean, they're not even like warts and all, but people want it anyway.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think it's a funny one. I was thinking about O.J. Simpson and the way that there was that moment maybe 10 years ago with, you had the kind of FX kind of soapy drama where you had like David Schwimmer and Cuba Gooding Jr. But then at the same time, you had O.J. Made in America. Really serious, like 7-part or 8-part, I can't remember, but like 8 hours or whatever it was of footage about O.J. Simpson. And it wasn't just about O.J. Simpson. It was about America and what he represented and why that court case was about race. It was about sex. It was about all kinds of different things. But we're not getting that on Michael Jackson. For people like me who like Michael Jackson, love the music, but have this massive asterisk because of the accusations, I am not that excited about this biopic because I know exactly what it's going to show me. And it's a story up to the mid-80s where everything's kind of all right and Michael Jackson is the hero. The villain is Joe Jackson. But we all know that there's this second part of his life, or third act really, where he's the villain. And we all know that. But we're not going to see it.
Lan Ray, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
That was arts and culture correspondent Lan Ray Beccare and The Guardian US's deputy arts editor Owen Myers. Thanks to them. You can read Owen's piece about the making of the biopic, as well as Peter Bradshaw's review of the film at theguardian.com. And that's it for today. This episode was presented by me, Noshin Iqbal. It was produced by Alex Atack, Eli Block, and James Tyndale. Sound design was by Ross Burns, and the executive producer was Huma Khalili. Lucy Hoff will be back in your feeds this afternoon with the latest.
This is The Guardian.